In our Christmas season, we now turn to the book of Luke. We are going to be reading two short selections. We're reading chapter 1 and chapter 2. And I think you'll hear words that will not be surprising. And so then the task is we invite the Spirit to speak to us afresh in these words this morning. We begin in chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And we turn to chapter 2. We're reading verses 8 through 15. "There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, grant us eyes to see and ears to hear. Fill our hearts this day that we might know your joy, that we might sense in it an invitation to a kind of life that could not have been imagined otherwise. And may all that we do and say in this moment bring honor and glory to you. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. A while back, I was doing a little bit of reading on a topic that was of interest to me. I don't know if you've ever heard of some of the growing problems that have been happening recently with people selling products disguised as if they're authentic, when in reality, they're counterfeits. Of course, we know some of those common things like, you know, counterfeit Rolexes, or you know about purses that have the name brand, but they're not real. I was struck to learn that this has gone all the way into sophisticated technologies. Some of the hottest things that you can buy, like Apple devices, Apple headphones, these kinds of things, people have become so sophisticated that they copy to the nines every part of the device. The plastic molding, the actual chips inside the device, they manufacture so they're the exact same. In fact, Apple goes and makes this very select software. They copy the software exactly so that if you're not an expert, lots of people can't tell the difference. I think that one could make a case that Christmas, too, also has an authenticity problem. If we look at our culture, it has been copied to the nines. And sometimes it takes some real work for us to find the Christian story at the center. Because as Christians gathered in a sanctuary a week before Christmas, we know that Christmas is about the inbreaking of God into the world. We know that it is the moment in which God's unexpected and life-changing plan happened in the world. Today, we are continuing on this Christmas series. We're talking today about this gift of joy. And I think amongst all of the themes that we'll talk about at Christmas, joy may be the theme that is counterfeited the most in our culture. Because no matter how hard we try, if we are not careful, joy and happiness are blended together in this cacophony of voices during the Christmas season. Think about it. How many times in a day you're at the store and you're talking to the clerk or you're watching TV and it's on an advertisement, how many times a day do you hear, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, may your Christmas be full of happiness, Happy Holidays, may your holiday season be bright and beautiful, wonderful sentiments, but not the same as joy. So easy for us to fixate on the happiness of our cultural celebration that we begin to count it as the thing that Christians have always meant by joy. Karl Barth, a Reformed theologian, once wrote, "The essence of joy is the consciousness of the forgiveness of sins." Think about that for a second. Joy is not what we feel. Joy is not even necessarily how we behave. Joy is the awareness of the forgiveness of sins. I dare you to reflect on the generous, gracious, scandalous gift of Jesus Christ who gave his life for you and not have some joy. To not recognize in that gift that is unmerited and unearned that we have something to be filled with joy about. Joy is a gift that can be received. It is a gift that is, I think, conferred upon us. I looked back. It was quite a few years ago. I had mentioned an article that stuck out for me. I'm going to mention it again today. If you remember, I once talked about the growing problem that New York City had with parking tickets. You know that New York City is the place where the UN is, right? So there's all of these foreign diplomats that live and work there. And if you're a foreign diplomat living and working in the United States, you have what's called diplomatic immunity. So imagine what happens if you live and work in a place that's not yours and the laws of that place don't apply to you. Lots of parking tickets. People run red lights. People park wherever they want. And the city cannot fine them for those infractions of the law. This is a few years ago. The fines amounted in New York City to $16 million. In London, it's £100 million of fines, most of them traffic related. And you can do all of those things because you have ambassador in the front of your name. A title not that you earned, a title that's given to you, a status that you have. And so therefore, with this immunity, you can go and pretty much do whatever you want. When Christians look at Christmas, that moment where God breaks into the world, when we see his salvation plan, our status changes. Now, we're not given diplomatic immunity. You will pay your parking fine. So I want to make sure that we're all clear on that, right? But because of Jesus, your status is different. Your sins have been forgiven. You have joy in the midst of your life because God has already done what needs to be done. Joy then flows out of our lives due to a deep-seated hope in God. So joy, it can't be contained, friends. You can't bottle it. You can't lose it. You can't wish it into existence. It is rooted in what God has already done, who God has given for us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, another theologian, writes that joy is the most infallible sign of the presence of God. And as you know, friends, Christmas is that day when Christians remember that God brought God's own presence into the world when God took on human flesh. Well, as we read the passages here today, we're reminded that joy breaks our expectations. Think of the shepherds. Think of that moment in which they're out in the field. They're just trying to do their job on the late night shift. And here, a choir of angels comes and speaks to them. And the angel says very clearly, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for some people. No, not some. For who? For all people. That is shocking. Take just a moment to reflect for just a second what that means. That the poor shepherds, the people on the lowest rung of the social order, just got told that the good news is for the people at the highest rung of the social ladder. The poor shepherds are told that the good news is also for the rich. How crazy is it that these shepherds just outside Bethlehem, Israelite workers, they're told that the good news is even for the Romans, the ones keeping the people in captivity. When the kingdom of God breaks into the world, all of our expectations are subverted. God's joy is for everyone because God's gift is intended for all people. God has broken the barrier that we have between God and between each other. And so joy lives in the center of our lives. Whenever we see God, the joy of God will burn within us. God didn't come on a team. He didn't wear a jersey in the manger. God was here for all. And that should transform our lives. And it should work joy within our fellowship. And you might know that throughout the Bible, especially the Old Testament, but there's also examples of this in the New, whenever joy is listed, it is often listed with the community. The way that the community celebrates is through feasting, through parades, through parties, through dancing. It's a communal activity. When we look and see the gift that God has given us, we discover we are brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not always easy. Sometimes we have to practice the spiritual gifts to live together. But friends, we have joy together because we all share the same gift that has come in Jesus Christ. And then we turn to Mary's story. A beautiful story of being included as part of this amazing salvific plan. And we begin to learn something about joy's particularly personal bent. This is what Mary writes. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. This is, I think, the key place where we can identify the counterfeit happiness for Christian joy. Because God meets us exactly where we are. Mary is grateful because God has blessed her even though she is in a humble state. God doesn't ask us to be something that we're not. He does not ask us to feel something that we don't. God does not expect you to make your Christmas merry if that is not how you find it this year. If we are honest, for some of us, this is a season of difficulty. Maybe even at its edge, this is a season of suffering, grieving loved ones lost, struggling with sickness and treatments, struggling with anxiety and relationships, struggling with our own inner darkness, trying to fend off some of those old addictions. Friends, in this room, we know real pain, real struggle. And Christian joy does not ask you to manufacture a different feeling. It does not require of you putting on a mask to hide that so that you can fit inside the circle. God's gift for you lives within you because Jesus Christ is with you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer again writes, "The Christian is not the person who has no sufferings. They are the person who has found a way of joy in suffering by the power of the Holy Spirit." God chose Mary. God has chosen you. You don't need to put on a mask to come to church. You don't need to sprinkle Mary happy and bright into every conversation. God has chosen the lowly to bring good news to the great. And today, on this day, you might feel lowly. And if you do, God is with you. And God is able to reveal himself through you and to even work joy in the midst of our deepest and darkest moments. Friends, my point this day is Christmas cannot and should not be manufactured. So I'd invite you today, take a self-assessment of what you expect from this season, what you expect from yourself. My invitation to you this day is to let go. Stop requiring a manufacturing of a season and allow joy to burn within you. Allow the reminder of what Jesus has done to be the thing to animate everything else that you do. Joy is not a measure of your put-togetherness or your spiritual attentiveness. Joy comes from being in the presence of God. Joy comes by the reminder that in the manger, God turned the page and began a new chapter in the history of the world. So, I end with a confession. I can't bestow upon all of you the title of ambassadors. I would if I could. But you are charged as Christians, as those who live in the story of the one who came, to be ambassadors of that Christ child. To be the ones who recognize that you have not earned that status. You likely do not feel different because you have it. But you are people who live underneath the gift that he has given to you. And if you allow that to work itself into your soul, then joy will grow in that place. Spiritual joy, lasting joy, the promise of God alive in us, the promise of God who will call us to be with himself. I certainly wish all of you a Merry Christmas, whatever it holds, but far more, I wish you a joy-filled Christmas. Or, put differently, a rejoicing Christmas. May that be true for you. May it be true for everyone in our fellowship, however Christmas finds us this year. Amen.